In Psalm 92, beginning in verse 1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord every day. He says, in the morning, I give thanks to the Lord. In the evening, I give thanks to the Lord. He says, the brutish man can't understand this, or another way to translate that would be, the stupid man can't understand this. The foolish man, that is the man that doesn't know the way of the Lord. The man that doesn't know what God does, what God has promised, what God fulfills. The foolish man can't say these things, can he? Amen. No, because he doesn't know the way of the Lord. He says, however, the righteous, the wise man, the smart man, the one that knows the way of the Lord will flourish. His way will be held up by God. And therefore, we will thank the Lord.
Amen.
In the day, we will thank the Lord in the night. And in Psalm 140, verses 12 and 13 says, "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." The righteous. Again, the wise. Those that only have wisdom because they've looked to God's wisdom. Mm-hmm. They are no fools. They are not brutish because they know what God says. And therefore, they're very thankful to the things that God has given. Very thankful for the ways that God has said He's going to provide, and for the ways that He then, therefore, does provide. In Psalm 30 and verse 12 says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent." He says, "I will sing aloud to you. I will not be silent. I will not be muted. I will praise you, God." He says, "O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Giving thanks to the Lord in the morning, in the noon, in the night. Forever, for all time, for the rest of my life, every day of my life. And in Psalm 79, verse 13, it says, "So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." The sheep of thy pasture, the ones who are being taken care of, unlike the brutish man, unlike the foolish person who doesn't know the way of the Lord, who doesn't understand what God does for His faithful, so that he can thank the Lord morning, noon, and evening. Forever. For the rest of his life. And as it says here, he will show forth that praise to all generations. The psalmist there in Psalm 79 and verse 13 says, "I will share with all the forthcoming generations. I will share with my children. I will share with my grandchildren. I will share with my niece and nephews. I will share with my cousins. I will share with my brothers and sisters. I will share with everyone the praise of God and why I am thankful to my God morning, noon, and evening for the rest of my life and forever." Why? Because God takes care of His faithful. Takes care of those who He's told He's going to take care of.
Amen.
This week is the day of Thanksgiving, as we call it. We celebrate Thanksgiving. And I want to ask us this morning, what are we thankful for? Are we thankful for those things the Bible says we should be thankful for? Are we thankful for things that maybe God says we shouldn't be thankful for? Does our thanksgiving always ultimately go back to the source of all praise and all glory and all honor, which is God? So to answer this question, we're going to look throughout the Bible. And just keep in mind as we look at these things, ask yourself, what am I thankful for? And we're not going to cover absolutely everything that we could be thankful for. We would be here forever. We're going to look at a few key things that I think kind of hone it down to those things we really ought to be thankful for. And we're going to see at the end that there are obviously so many more things left over that we have not looked at. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 10, Jesus gives a parable. And in this parable, Luke 18, beginning in verse 10, he says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, or that is brought low. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. The one man comes before God, and he has himself up on this pedestal. And he's already someone that people come to know the Word of God. And he says, I'm so thankful I'm not like all these sinners out here. I'm thankful I'm nothing like them. I am so much better than them. I do all these things in the week. But then that person, that publican, that tax collector that most in that day had no respect for, he bows before God and he says, God, please, please be merciful to me. There is a great contrast here. One man thanks God for things that he had no business thanking him for.
That's true.
The other doesn't even thank God. He just asks God to please forgive him for the things that he had done. See, in our thanksgiving, the first and most important thing is our attitude.
Amen.
We can thank God up and down all day long for the right things, but if we have the wrong attitude, if we have the wrong manner of heart, it's not going to do us any good.
Amen.
Because realistically, if I used to be an extortioner or unjust or an adulterer and I came out of that and I stopped doing that, isn't that something to thank God for?
Yes.
Thank you, God, for being with me, a sinner, and helping me to get out of this sin and stop living in these things and to do better and to live better.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with thanking God for not doing things we used to do. But this publican, or this Pharisee rather, had lifted himself up in a way to say, I've never done any of these things. I've never been in danger. I'm so much better. And yet the tax collector understood where he was pertaining to God. He understood the contrast between himself and God. And I'm not saying that in order to humble ourselves, we don't thank God for anything. But in our thanksgiving to our Creator, we need to be humble. We need to be realistic. And we need to thank God for things that we should be thanking Him for.
Amen.
See, in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him.
Amen.
So in everything, the idea of Colossians 3:17 is in everything that God has given us the authority to do, everything that we are allowed to partake of as His faithful children, we thank Him for those things we are allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Having the right attitude, having the right mindset, and in coming to God and thanking Him for the right things, the things we're allowed to do, we won't be thanking Him for the wrong things.
That's true.
See, unfortunately, many people are very, very thankful during this week that we set aside to celebrate being thankful, but they're just plain thankful for the wrong things.
Amen.
God says, be thankful for the right things, and in your thanksgiving, be humble about it. Know your place. Understand that everyone is a sinner. Understand that compared to God, we can't lift ourselves up.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it may be that I've never partaken of a certain other sin, or maybe, you know, I have not, when you kind of compare the numbers, thanked God for more wrong things than that person has. But that's no reason to glorify myself.
Mm-mm. Amen.
When we thank God, we're not glorifying ourselves. We are glorifying Him.
Amen.
We are showing Him gratitude. We are showing Him appreciation for what He has done for us. Not for what we have done for Him. It doesn't work that way. So when we think about being thankful, be humble, have a low heart, because Christ said, you'll be exalted if you have a low heart. And also in doing so, we realize our place. And we know, I have no business thanking God for things that God says I can't have, or I can't partake of, or something of that nature. We need to thank God regardless of the situation we're in. We need to be humble, and we need to thank Him for the right things, but it doesn't matter where we are in life. If we are where we think we should be, or if God has a different plan for us, we still thank Him.
Mm-hmm.
See, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
And now we know when he says in everything, he doesn't mean thank God for sinful things. We just covered that in Colossians 3:17.
That's true.
In everything what? In everything that's holy, in everything that's right, in everything that you ought to be thanking God for, thank Him for it. In every situation we are in. Comes to mind for me, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, there is a decree brought forth in the land. And basically, because Daniel is worshiping God correctly, serving God, he's going to be tossed in the lion's den.
Amen.
Now Daniel, and at this point in his life, he's probably in his early 90s, serving God. He's going to be, obvious, he can't stand up against a lion at that age. I dare say most people, if they're honest, don't think they could just tussle with a lion one-on-one. You know, some have. But Daniel's an older fella at this point, and of his own power, he can't do anything about this lion. And he knows that this is his fate. But what does Daniel do? In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that is, the law was put into effect, that he was going to be tossed in the lion's den if he continued to worship God correctly, it says, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
Amen.
How many of us, knowing impending death was on the way, it's coming, I'm going to be put in a situation in a few days' time where I'm going to die, and I haven't done anything wrong, would say, thank you, God. Thank you, because your will be done. And I know if I'm doing the right thing, whatever happens to me, that's your will.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you desire to occur for the better of all. So God, thank you for putting me in whatever situation you deem I ought to be in for the betterment of others' souls, even if it means my death, even if it means me being in a position in life that I never desired. You know, sometimes in this country, we get so caught up in the American dream. You got to have, you know, a wife or a husband, and you got to have so many children. You got to have 2 cars, and you have to have that nice house with a garage and that nice flat panel, you know, TV and all this other stuff. No, we don't.
Mm-mm.
We don't have to have that.
Amen.
And unfortunately, there are some that when they don't acquire that, they're not very thankful to God.
Mm-mm.
I said, God, how dare you not give me this, not realizing that their standard for life isn't the standard for life that God has built. It's the standard for life that this culture has built. But it's not what God says we should want to live up to. God says, serve me. Do everything you can to serve me. There's your standard.
Amen.
And everything else, you're all right. So be thankful to me. Have a humble heart. Realize that you thank me for the right things. And no matter what situation we are in, we thank the Lord. We may not understand it. Let me say, God, I've done all of these things, and this is the one thing I've only ever wanted, and it's not something wrong to have or desire. And yet God just never blesses us with it. so be it. We do as Daniel. We return to our homes. We get on our knees. And we thank God as we did before.
Amen.
Because what did the psalmist say at the beginning there? God is in control. God will bless the righteous. He knows what He's doing. So in our thanksgiving, we humble ourselves. We thank God for the right things. We thank Him in everything concerning the right things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And no matter where we are in life, whether we think we should be at that place or not, we thank our Creator.
Amen.
For the things that He blesses us with and for being who He is. We're thankful that He provides for us. See, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, it says, "And He," and that is Jesus, "took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude."
Mm-hmm.
There were a multitude that were hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, all we have is this little amount of food."
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, "I'll take care of it." And He breaks them and He performs this miracle and He feeds so many that there's food left over.
Amen.
But yet, He didn't lift Himself up.
Mm-hmm.
He was humble. And He thanked God for where He was and what He was able to do.
Amen.
It says He gave thanks.
Amen.
How many, if they were actually capable of performing such a miracle, would turn to God and say, "Thank you, God," immediately? I think many, they would boast of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
"Look at this great thing that I have fed all these people. No one thought I could do it, but I did it. And guess what? There's food left over." But Jesus gave thanks.
Amen.
Gave thanks for the food that they were provided. When I think of giving thanks, one of the first things that usually comes to mind is for the food, for the things we're provided for the shelter and things of that nature.
Amen.
Because in Matthew 6, that was what God promised, is faithful.
Yeah.
And we need that to survive. Sometimes we don't have it the way we think we should, but God will give it to us the way we do need it.
Amen.
And so we give Him thanks for providing for us those things that we require to continue on living.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me too, that's the first thing that comes to mind, because on Thanksgiving Day, what is the whole day surrounded upon? The whole day surrounds eating food.
Big turkey.
And so in having that food, and usually we make a much bigger meal on Thanksgiving Day than we would any other day,
mm-hmm.
we really ought to sit down and thank God, get on our knees, and thank Him for providing us in such a way that we can even celebrate a thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
We also need to be thankful for the spiritual well-being of others. And I realize this is kind of a jump in some sense from physical sustenance, but we go from physical sustenance to spiritual sustenance.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, when Paul is finishing up the letter, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." See, it wasn't just those who had immediately and literally put their lives on the line for Him that Paul was giving thanks for. It was for all of the assemblies of the Lord, even those whom he had never met. He was thanking God. Why? Because they are servants of God. He's thankful for all the saints across the globe. I'm thankful today that there are preachers and saints that I've never met, and I'll probably never meet until I'm in heaven, that are serving God.
Amen.
We can't stop just with those Christians who have assisted our spiritual journey. We have to thank God for all Christians, just like Paul did. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We thank God when others are willing to listen to His word with a humble heart, understanding those that idea in Colossians 3 there, God's authority is what we must live by. We thank God when people accept it rightly, just as He did here. And how did He thank? Without ceasing. I think sometimes, and obviously I'm speaking for myself here, so I know sometimes that I get so caught up in being thankful to God for helping me grow as a Christian and helping me be more honest with the Scriptures that I forget to thank Him that there are others who He has helped that way too. Others that have assisted me in my spiritual journey. And how selfish of me to forget about everyone else. So when we thank God for these things, we look outward. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." He says, I am bound. I am restricted so much as I must thank God that your faith is growing. You have accepted, you have received the Word of God, but now you're growing upon it. You're doing something with it. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world."
Amen.
You know, there may be other Christians that can do things that we can't yet because we're still growing. There may be other Christians that are better known for their Christianity than we are, but that's no reason to be spiteful.
Mm-mm.
We thank God for that.
Amen.
Because Christianity is going forth. Because it is being spoken, it is being shown to all generations, as the psalmist said. We thank God for the physical sustenance we have. We also thank Him for the spiritual, but in being humble and loving others, putting them before ourselves, we think about them. And we thank God for how He has helped them and their honesty and what they have done for Him and maybe even their, quote, celebrity among the brotherhood. We thank God for that because it means that the church is doing well. We may look around and say, there's not many people here. I don't think it's doing well. But as long as there's one honest person that's listening to the gospel and obeying it, friends, the church is doing well because that's one soul instead of zero. So when we come to God and we thank Him, we must be humble. We must thank Him for the right things. We must understand the authority He's given to us. And we must thank Him regardless of the situation that we're in. We thank Him for providing for us physically. We thank Him for providing for others spiritually. And you know, concerning others, something I find interesting is we also thank Him in moments that we kind of often wouldn't think of. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." What Paul is thanking God that he didn't have more of a role in the immersion process of salvation? Yeah. Because he knew that if he had baptized more than just them and a few other households, that guess what? They would have lifted themselves up in the pump that they were struggling with to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. Paul says, no, you're of Jesus, and I thank God that I didn't baptize more of you, because then more of you would be falling into this trap. Mm-hmm. More of you would be struggling with this, because Paul was very well known among the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wrote a vast majority of the New Testament. Paul went around on his journey setting up congregations, going back, setting up elderships.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
To be baptized in the name of Paul, tell you what, you could take that and you could just run with it and be all prideful of it. Paul says, I thank God I didn't baptize you.
Right. Amen.
See, Paul was so very wise. And what I take from this is being thankful for stronger Christians and their wisdom, sometimes, you know, in limiting the weaker Christians. Well, you're not just ready for that yet, or thus and such, or something else. You know, there's great wisdom that stronger Christians have, and sometimes those of us who are a weaker than them or more of a babe in Christ, we don't understand it. They show us in the Bible, this is what, and we don't quite get it. See, oftentimes we should be thanking God for that wisdom they have that we just don't quite grasp yet. Because if we study, if we're humble, if we're honest, eventually we'll get it.
Amen.
And Paul even said in chapter 14 and verse 18, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you. Because they were struggling with these spiritual gifts that they had been given, and they were speaking in tongues when there was no one to interpret. And Paul says that's useless. Mm-hmm. No one can be edified. No one can be lifted up, because what happens? You speak in another language, but there's no interpreter there, so no one can tell anyone what you just said.
Amen.
So you're only glorifying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm thankful that I do this more than you do. Why? Because Paul was doing it the right way,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing it the wrong way. So we should be thankful for that as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. We should be thankful. We are given the privilege and the opportunity and the ability to spread the gospel.
Amen.
It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says, I thank God because he counted me faithful. He enabled me to teach. He enabled me to be in a position where I could help others spiritually. And now I realize most of us will never be in that kind of public speaking role and thus and such. But the general principle applies to all of us. We thank God for allowing us to teach others the gospel.
Amen.
For allowing us to help other Christians grow. Just as we thank Him for allowing the wiser Christians to help us grow, the stronger Christians help us grow, we thank Him when we are that stronger Christian and we can help a weaker brother or sister and we can assist them growing in some way, shape, or form and being a better Christian. We thank God for these things. I fear too often, unfortunately, that many Christians don't thank God for the privilege and the opportunity and the ability to spread the gospel, but instead they curse God because they just want personal peace. They just want to be left alone. They want part of our culture is you just leave me alone. I'm going to my house. I'm doing my thing. Don't bother me. And we have to break out of that if we're going to be a right Christian.
Amen.
Sometimes the only opportunities we have are at work. That's fine. But as long as we're taking advantage of them and thanking God for them instead of being spiteful and angry that God would ever ask us to do such a thing. This is one of the preeminent things in Christianity. Being a Christian and then spreading Christianity.
Amen.
And if we're not thankful to God for that, we're not thankful to God for Christianity.
Amen.
We don't understand it. Taking that and going to 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the victory that has been given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who came here, as we've been looking at in Hebrews, and lived the life that we all ought to be able to live, but that none of us are willing to live. And He was tempted as we are, but He made it through unscathed. And He died for our sins, and we ought to be thankful to God for that.
Amen.
Friends, if we don't thank God for that, but we thank Him for everything else in this world, we have failed to understand what we should be thanking God for. We have failed to understand the entire message of the Bible if we fail to thank God for the victory that we are given in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But as we've seen, we can't have that victory unless we're humble. We do things the way He's told us to do. We're okay in any situation we're in because we know we can still spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We want to spread the gospel. We're humble enough to realize others are stronger than us at many times and we can learn from them. But we're also humble enough to realize there's times where we need to step up because we're stronger than other Christians and we can do things to help them. And for all of these things, we thank Jesus, God, for giving us victory. We thank Him because without Jesus, there'd be no victory. There'd be no point.
Amen.
And in that, we also thank God for the Lord's Supper. Sometimes, and I fall into this trap, I only thank God for the Lord's Supper on a Sunday when I'm partaking of it. But you know, doing that on a Sunday helps level me. It helps get me focused. It helps remind me. It makes me sit down and really think about things and get a remembrance in my mind of something I should be thankful for every single day.
Amen.
And so there's nothing wrong if on a Tuesday I want to thank God that He let me partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday, and in His wisdom He gave it to us. That's the thing to do.
Amen.
Because it'll help us focus. Even Jesus, when He instituted it, gave thanks for the cup, and He gave thanks for the bread.
He did. Amen.
So we're thankful for these things, for victory in Christ. And something that I don't think usually comes to mind with a lot of people, because they think it may be sort of blasphemous. We thank God for who He is. In Psalm 97 and verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." God is holy. God is sanctified. He is separate. He is set apart. He is different. And we thank God for that. But wait a minute. Can God help that He's holy? No, it's just the way He is.
Amen.
But do we thank Him for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, God, realizing that God is all-powerful, but that God is limited in the sense that He can't lie. God could never lie. God would never want to lie. We thank God for that, for being who He is. And I understand some think about that and they say that's a little weird because God's going to be God no matter if I thank Him for it or not. Well, that's true. But think about everything that God is and how much of a blessing it is to us. And yeah, God's going to be God no matter who I am and what I do. But because of that, I ought to be thankful to God for His holiness. And for all the things that God is. Because all the things that God is then mean all the things that God does. These are many of the things that we ought to be thankful for. And of course, I haven't mentioned, you know, being thankful for my wife. Being thankful for some other things that would often come to mind. You're sitting, you're going, Anthony, but you didn't mention, it wasn't intended to be, you know, the whole list of everything we should be thankful for. But to take some moments in the Bible where a writer said, "I give thanks," and see some of the things they gave thanks for. And so the things, therefore, that we know that we should be giving thanks for. You see, in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, he says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." See, this holiday that I'm pretty sure from chatting with you all over the past couple weeks, just about everyone in here is going to be partaking of Thanksgiving in one day or another on Thursday. I think it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. Remember this. Keeping in mind everything we've looked at, that we need to be humble, we need to thank God for the things He's told us, we should thank Him in all things that are holy. This is a day that man has decided to set apart. This is not a day that God has told us we must celebrate. So if someone doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, that's okay.
Amen.
It's not sinful. Because what does He say here? One day, one man esteems one day over the other. In other words, I may tomorrow decide to thank God and pray to Him and study His holiness all day long. But you, on the other hand, may be thinking about His power or His might, or you may be thinking about the forgiveness of sins, and you've set that day aside, and you are allowed to celebrate that personally. But you can't bind that on someone else.
Amen.
So I say this to say, if we know a Christian who doesn't bother with Thanksgiving, that's okay. As long as they're thanking God in the way we've seen we need to thank God, and they're doing as much as they possibly can, morning, noon, and night, and forever, and to all generations, and with a humble heart,
amen.
That's the thing that matters.
Amen.
So I may thank God for something that you don't thank Him for. He says here, one man thanks Him because he eats, Another man thanks him because he doesn't eat. One man may have been fasting, and we're allowed to fast. It's not necessarily commanded, but we are allowed to do it.
Amen.
And if we're doing so, we thank God that we're not eating. If we are eating, we thank God that we are eating. See, that's why I say I couldn't come up with a list of all the things we should thank God for, because each of us have come from different places in life, and we are in different places in life, and in many ways we have different things to thank Him for. But as long as they are by His will and they are everything that is holy, then that's what we should be thanking God for.
Amen.
I'll end with a verse here from Ephesians, a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 5. I'll be reading it from the ESV just because of some of the wording. I don't take grievance with the way and King James translates it or anything. But there's a very strong point here that I think sort of rounds this out. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 2. It says, "And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God."
Amen.
See, if we are thanking God with a humble heart, thanking Him for the right things, keeping others in mind before us, if we are thanking Him always, you know what we won't have time to do? Fall into these traps.
Amen.
He says, instead of filthy talk and crude joking, partake in thanksgiving. If we're about to fall into something, pause and thank God. Thank Him that we're allowed to pause and thank Him. Thank Him for anything that's right, because it'll get us refocused on spiritual things.
Amen.
And it'll keep us from falling into those traps. You see, often we think of thanksgiving and we say, yeah, we need to do it and I want to show God that I'm appreciative. But something I think we leave out, or at least I never really noticed before I knew about this verse, which was some time ago, which was, guess what? Thanking God will benefit me here because it will help keep me out of sin.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. What a glorious thing, the way God has designed things, that even in something that is in complete and total prostration and complete and total humility, putting Him first, He still sees it fit to benefit me when I'm not attempting to benefit myself. All I want to do is say, God, I'm so grateful. I appreciate so much what You've done for me, what You do for others, for being who You are. Thank You. Because God loves us and has infinite wisdom. He's designed it in such a way that even doing that will benefit us here and now.
Amen.
And how awesome is that?
Amen.
So this week, and especially on Thursday, and realistically, all days, when we think of thanking God, let's put it in its proper perspective. And let's be humble about it. And let's do it the right way. And let's realize that God comes first. And if we're doing the right thing, as the psalmist said, He will lift you up. He will take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we thank God for that. We thank Him for the victory that He has given us in Christ Jesus. But thanking Him for that victory, not partaking in that victory, won't do us any good. Mm-hmm. If we're not a Christian, if we haven't gone through the steps to become a Christian, that even that we thank God for, then thanking Him won't count to our benefit, spiritually speaking.
Amen.
If we have become a Christian, we've stopped thanking God. Maybe we've been thanking Him for the wrong reasons. We've misunderstood how we ought to thank Him, and it's made us stumble. Then we need to come back to God. And we need to do things the right way and humble ourselves as that tax collector did and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
And thank You for allowing me to say this and come to You with this.
Amen.
God will lift us up and give us the victory and take care of us, but only if we put Him first in all thanksgiving. So if you're not a Christian and you are and you've stumbled, we sing this song to encourage you to do the right thing. Won't you do the right thing as we stand and sing?